Good evening, everybody. Welcome to episode number 4 of Set the Sails podcast, a Bucks Life Media podcast. I'm so happy to be with you. My name is down there in the corner, or this corner, James Ludeman. Welcome so much to you that are watching. First of all, I have to say before I bring on my co-host, we are live on Facebook, we are live on YouTube, we are live on Twitter, and we are now live on Twitch. So we are now, for those of you that love our show so much, you can watch us in various areas all throughout your social media experience. But now that brings me to my wonderful co-host. I'm going to go ahead and bring him on with us now, Mr. Britt Buck himself. Sir, how are we doing this evening?
Yeah, I'm really cool. I can't believe we're at 4 shows already. This is crazy. And you're still having problem with your corners. And it's like, your name is in the bottom right. It's right here. You know what? Mine says, like, yeah, right here. Like, I am there. You know who I am. You've seen this. And you know what? This is, it's great. I can't believe that we're still, like, able to do this. We've got some great guests lined up. We've got lots of books news to be talking about. You guys who watch the show, who listen to the show, you know what we're all about. And I can't wait. I can't believe it looks like it's the Canuck book. Actually, do you know what? This is something really, like, crazy. Hey, Donnie, speaking of Canuck books, like, quick, crazy story before I hand back to you, James. So, when actually I started as the Brit Book when I lived in Britain, in the United Kingdom, when I first started doing this, and when I was like, hey, you know what? We're moving to Canada. That's nice and easy. I will be the Canuck book. Somebody already had the Twitter handle and the name, so I had to stay as Brit Book. That's why I ended up, I'm still Brit Book. Technically speaking, I'm still British, so I'm technically speaking, I am still Brit Book. But you know what? Canuck Book would have been pretty impressive. James, true. Back to you. Sorry, I'm just...
No, it's okay. Well, of course, let's just go ahead and get some of this stuff out of the way. Of course, as I mentioned, you can follow us on Twitter at @sales_set. Excuse me. Wow, I don't know what I'm talking about either tonight. You can follow us on Twitter. Of course, you can follow us on Twitch and YouTube under Bucks Life or Set the Sales Podcast, a Bucks Life Media podcast. Don't forget, you can also now find us on fanstreamsports.com on the Fanstream Sports Podcast Network. And that's a cool thing. We also work with a lot of other great shows, including the JP Peterson Show, which you can hear every Monday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. on AM 840 in Tampa. And then you can also follow other shows like Sports Caffeine, who is also on. And we love them as well. And we're really excited about tonight. And actually, we're going to bring on our first guest now. He's joining us from his awesome area, by the way. Look at this here. I love this backdrop we got. This is Rhett Matthew. He is the host of the Cannon Fire podcast, which you can also find on YouTube and all the various social media areas that I'm sure he'll talk about here in just a moment. Rhett, welcome to the show, my friend.
What is up, guys? I am digging the old school Pewter Report shirt. I saw some people in the chat checking that out. It looks good, man. I like that old logo. But how are you guys doing? I'm really excited to be here. I'm happy to be on live somewhere talking about Buccaneers football.
Yeah, I think we've been trying to kind of collaborate for a while now. There were some things in the way of that, but I'm glad those things are now out of the way, which is fantastic. But it's good to have you with us, man. Big follower of the show. And let's just go ahead. You want to talk Bucks? Let's just go ahead and start that. One of the things I wanted to ask you, we're not going to talk too much about the schedule because obviously it's been, you know, kind of talked about enough over the last several weeks, including by this show, by the way.
I have got sources. Now, this is some breaking news, actually, from my sources. Okay. Now, bear in mind, now, this isn't 100% confirmed, but my sources are great. Okay. I have the best sources. Apparently, this year, the Bucks will be playing 16 games. This is even the worst. Eight of them aren't even going to be at Raymond James Stadium. Rhett, how do you feel about that?
Wow.
That's huge.
A bombshell you're dropping. You know, you would think when the schedule comes out, you hope you get 16 straight home games, but unfortunately it just doesn't work that way. And that's the situation the Bucks find themselves in now.
Yeah, and it's crazy. As soon as my source told me this, I was like, that's just wild, man. That's just wild.
He hears things in his mind, and he's assuming that those are sources.
That's how everyone else gets sources, right?
I am mostly glad that quote-unquote sources season is behind us, I think, for the most part. You mostly hear all that stuff happen with free agent signings, and then, of course, the draft. That's a whole nother level to it. But I think for right now, we've got a little break from the monotony. Everything's sort of figured out, aside from when facilities are going to open up further than they already have. But I'm very glad we're out of that time of the year, because it got very, very annoying seeing just everything that I'm sure everyone is accustomed to on social media that time of year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
he wants to go with sources. We're going to get away from that for a second. But let's talk real quick about
the sources.
If you could maybe pinpoint a couple games that you're obviously everybody's really looking forward to the first game right out of the gate, playing the Saints on the road, on the 4:25 slot, an America's Game of the Week, as they like to call it on Fox. So that's obviously a big game, but highlight maybe some other games that you're really looking forward to this year.
Yeah, man. When I saw the list of opponents the Bucks had for 2020, the one game that stuck out to me, regardless of where it was going to be, was the Green Bay game. I don't know why, but I always get very, very excited when we play Green Bay. And I think this year, it amped it up for me a little bit more. Nothing more than like aesthetic wise, like just because we changed our uniforms, we're back to the old school uniforms. I'm really excited about the Packers game. I saw it and I was hoping it was under the lights, because it kind of makes you nostalgic for that late 90s NFC Central Monday Night Football, Chris Berman under the lights, Warren Sapp in red and pewter kicking the hell out of Brett Favre, stuff like that. I didn't even go to those games, and as a Bucks fan, I'm nostalgic for it. I don't have an exact reason why, but it is what it is. So I'm really excited for the Green Bay game. It is 4:25, so it'll be partially under the lights, but that should be a good game. And I think the Las Vegas Raiders game has a good storyline to it as well. You know, the John Gruden much-awaited rematch between him and his former team. And, I mean, now with the Bucks having the offseason that they have, the stakes are that much higher to see where these teams are from just a year ago when they were both fairly average. So, you know, those are two big games that pop out for me, but I am excited for Week 1, because last time the Bucks opened up in the Superdome, they put on a show, and I hope we can catch the Saints sleeping and maybe get one there. That's very entertaining.
Yeah. I mean, one thing that you do bring up that I was kind of hoping that this wasn't going to come up, but you know what? I think this was entirely my own naivety. Rhett, one of the questions, obviously, that I have regarding this that you bring up is when you say Gruden playing against, like, his, well, coaching against his old team. We've got to remember, it's nearly 20 years ago that he won the Super Bowl. It's 15 years, really, since he was last coaching in Tampa. A lot of, like, new fans and a lot of our younger listeners and viewers, they probably don't really know who John Gruden is outside of this caricature of sort of what they've seen in, like, America's Game, like the Super Bowl champions, YouTube clips and other things like that. What sort of do you think John Gruden still brings to the Raiders? And do you think that the Raiders game will be something special?
I think the Raiders are one of those teams where, like, they have to put up or shut up this year, because it's going to be really interesting to see how they translate and if they can improve off of last year. Because, you know, if the Raiders go out and they missed the playoffs this year. I don't know if that puts Gruden in the hot seat 100% just yet, simply because of how much their owner is infatuated with him. But I have to believe that Raiders fans are expecting him to put up a postseason appearance one of these years. And with the pieces they've put together, they had a surprisingly good offseason. I think they got some pretty good pieces. I mean, they got Carl Nassib, you know what I mean? That guy's a three-down starter for you at defensive end. But it's just interesting because I know that it's a bigger game for them as well, just because they have to kind of step it up this year. So I think that's what makes it a little more exciting, because if by that time of the season they're starting to look good, this could be a very entertaining game.
All right, so we got a question. We're using the hashtag AskRhett because we love hashtags, because, of course, we're on Twitter.
Why not?
Our first question here is from Donnie, who asks, who do you think will be our hardest opponent?
I like this one. And there is one game that not a lot of people have talked about. You know, people talk about the Kansas City matchup. They're excited for the primetime games, the division battles. But the Buccaneers have that late bye week in week 13. The week after that, they come back and they play Minnesota. Minnesota's posed to be a really, really strong team this year. You know, they want to hopefully make a playoff run like they did last year, get even further. And I think they could be dangerous that time of the season. You come back, you got four games left. A lot of teams, especially Minnesota, if they're in the position we think they are, they're going to be pushing towards the postseason. They want to get wins together, get some momentum. So for the Bucs to not only come back fresh off of a bye week, I think it'll be good for them, but to kickstart that last four-game stretch, and Minnesota's the toughest game out of that last four-game stretch, because they've got Minnesota, Atlanta, and then if I'm not mistaken, they go to Detroit, and then they finish against Atlanta. Well, they play Atlanta again. Right. But, yeah, that Minnesota game, because it'll just kind of be a statement of where this team is, if they have momentum headed into the bye week, and, you know, if we can expect playoffs at that point.
Well, and that's an interesting thing that you bring up too, the Minnesota game, because I think both of these teams at that point in the season are going to be very heavy in fighting, not just for potentially a playoff berth, but a division berth as well. Minnesota is one of those teams that is right there in the thick of things. I mean, of course, you got to look at a team like Green Bay, who's really good, and they've been really good. They didn't, in my opinion, they weren't the winners, obviously, of the draft that some hoped they would be. But I still think it's Minnesota's division right now to lose. So at this point, I think by the time that, you know, that week comes around, there's good potential for that, you know, matchup to be for possibly a bye in the first round, potentially, or it could even be for more. So I'm with you on that, and I think that's interesting. And I have to ask this question before James asks his next one, but Jay wants to know, are those Turtle Beach 50s?
They are Turtle Beach cheapo Walmart something. They're my Xbox headset. I took the little disposable microphone off of them so I can just use them as headphones. They fit fairly comfortable with the hat. So I don't know if they're Turtle Beach 50s, but they're like, I want to say they're called X36s or something like that. You can buy them at Walmart for $40.
Nice. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I was going to sort of bring up, and I think you covered it quite well, is Minnesota is one of those teams where they're constantly a good team, but capable of being beaten by anybody. I think with Minnesota, you never know what you've got, because they can easily finish a season 10-6, but be on the verge of the playoffs, and everybody be wondering how the hell did they even get this far? They've got holes all over the roster. I think, though, as you say, you're coming up to the bye week at this point, and it will be a really, really good litmus test. I know I've said this before. Donnie's even mentioned it in the comments as well. For me, I think the litmus test of this coming season is the Denver Broncos game, because it's away. It's obviously, it's at Mile High Stadium. It's a difficult game. The first two games of the season, bear in mind, are divisional games. For me, they go out of the window. Who do you think, apart from, like, obviously the teams that we've got on our schedule, who do you think is potential really to maybe surprise a few people this year?
It's hard. I wanted to say the Bears, But I think that situation is really too much of a mess. When it comes to teams, I look at our schedule at teams that could surprise the people. I think the Rams still have some pieces to be decent. I really think they can come out and salvage with what they have and put together maybe an 8-9 win season. I have some other people who say that they see them actually making a playoff run. I don't think that's possible, but I think the Rams might be one of those teams. I think if the Panthers can start to really get some things together on that defense, a lot of young pieces, and if Teddy Bridgewater can translate well, Matt Rhule can kind of figure out how to be a head coach in the first 6 weeks, which is very, very hard to do. But I think Carolina is another team that if they get rolling early, they could maybe not cause a ruckus for that battle at the top spot of the NFC South, but maybe sneak their way into a wild card spot on top of somebody else. So I think those are two teams I look at that could get it going and surprise people.
Yep. I just want to ask one question, because I know that Rhett's running out of time here. One of the things here, and this is something that we're going to be sort of discussing on later on the show, because I want to get your opinion before you do have to leave us. How are you feeling about the current situation with the Buccaneers' salary cap?
I'll be honest with you. I haven't checked it, because every time somebody throws a salary cap out there, whether it's through Twitter or some post, I always see alternating numbers. I know that there is enough room for them to potentially want to sign one more person. I think maybe some depth at outside linebacker would do them some good. Maybe if they want to get a vet corner, but I don't know. I mostly look at outside linebacker, and a name like Clay Matthews floats around. But when it comes to the salary cap, I'll be honest, I haven't looked into it enough to give you an honest answer. And that's the truth, my friend. There just hasn't been any news.
That's absolutely fine. And I will totally admit that I kind of like walked you into a bit of a trap just simply. And it is absolutely perfect, because what you've said there sums up, I think, everybody. We're hoping to get like a little bit more information, but there are so many like different things coming up with different numbers. I've heard as low as like 3 million. I've heard as high as 50 million, which is crazy. I just wanted to understand, because I know that you're quite a connected guy, and you know what, people watching, the salary cap numbers are all over the place. I'm just going to jump quickly on Donnie's question, because I'm talking at the moment. bless him, he followed the hashtag AskRhett.
Look at that.
More could you ask? That's progress.
So official, man.
So what happens if Brady gets injured mid-season? Who gets fired? Who steps in at quarterback? And how far will it set us back as a franchise? Ooh, Donnie.
Man. When it talks about who steps in at quarterback, I really don't think you have any other choice than Blaine Gabbert. I think the Bucs are going to lean on him. Keeping him around proves that they have something. I saw there was a report that came out today that there are talks of extending Ryan Griffin's contract. I don't know how reliable that was from, but that was one thing I had seen today. So I guess Blaine Gabbert, to be honest with you. Who gets fired? You got to look at the situation, I guess. With Brady having 2 years on his contract, if he gets injured and he can play, right around the end of the season when we're out of playoff contention because Blaine Gabbert was awful, then I have to believe that they want to try one more time. You know what I mean? They've got that last year on the contract. The pieces are there. Sign everybody to another 1 year deal, get it figured out, and then just try and make a run next year. So I don't know if anybody would get fired immediately. But I guess if something happens and it's just catastrophic and it's the worst possible case scenario, I have to believe the Bruce Arians will just be ready to move on. I think it'll be mutual. I don't even know if he'll be fired. He'll just say, F it, and throw his hands up in the air right off into the sunset. But I don't know. That is a good thought-provoking question for sure. It'll definitely set us back as a franchise. Because we've put all of our chips in to win now, and it's not like we have a fresh young quarterback ready to go who can win us 12 games, I believe. So it'll definitely set us back, because that future that we've been not really planning for lately will be hindered just a bit. But I don't know. Was a really good question.
All right. Well, Rhett, thank you again for joining us. If you want to stick around in the lobby, you're more than welcome to hang out, and we can bring you back once we have our next guest on. It's up to you. You let me know kind of what you're looking at. But man, it's so awesome to have you here with us. I definitely want to get more insight from you though. So if you want to hang on, that would be awesome. All right. Just for a couple minutes here, and then we're going to talk to Mark Cook, from Pewter Report here in just a second, and I'm actually going to bring him on now. But let me come back to you, okay?
All righty, man. Thank you, guys.
All right, Rhett. Thanks, man. Hang on. All right. So right now we're going to bring in from PewterReport.com, Mr. Mark Cook is joining us. Mark, how are we doing?
I'm good. No one told me this was a video chat. I might not have agreed to do this.
Oh, no, no. Well, we had to do video because my co-host, if you may notice this, is wearing a PewterReport.com shirt and actually has a very interesting story about it.
That's a throwback PewterReport.com shirt. That's not a new one.
This is not a new one, actually. So, this shirt has a bit of a bizarre story behind it. Now, I'm going to take people back.
I can't hear the co-host.
You can't hear me? Did you turn? Can you hear me? hear me?
I can't hear. No.
Nope. James, what have you done to my mic?
I haven't done anything. I don't do anything.
I hear you.
Oh, you hear me. I don't know why you don't hear him. Hold on. Let's try this. Try that.
How's this now? Can you hear me?
I can. I can hear him perfectly.
we'll translate what he says to me, I guess. Or do you want me to sign off and try and get on my laptop? I'm just using my phone for this.
May work a little better on the computer. Because I know we've had some issues before.
Give me a couple minutes. I'll be right back.
Okay. Gotcha. Right. No problem. All right. So Mark's going to come back with us here in just a second. He's going to try the computer. Of course, as you know, you're watching Set the Sales, the podcast. We thank you guys so much for tuning in. Definitely some great questions. Keep throwing those out. How were the peas? I'm not Jay. Jay's just being out of order tonight. Jay Bucks. But thank you all so much again for watching. Hey, one of the things I wanted to bring up tonight before Mark comes back with us is, where are you watching from? Go ahead and drop that in the comments. I've had some people say they're watching from Canada. Where our co-host is from. And actually, we have a guest coming on next week that we'll announce later on down the line, who is a fantasy football expert, and he's going to join us next Monday night. And he's from Canada as well, so it'll be interesting to have two Canadians on the show at the same time. So, if you have a fantasy football team that you're getting ready to draft, or maybe you've drafted already, I haven't drafted mine yet. But, you know, maybe we should do that. I just thought about that. Why don't we do a Set the Sales fantasy football league? I think that'd be awesome. That'd be fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if we have a little bit of a reach out to our other sponsor over at the Jersey Wave, then see if we can have something for the winner, maybe.
We can actually. Why don't we do this? Let's announce it now because we have the ability to do it. So how about this? We'll set up a fantasy football league in the next few weeks, and the winner gets an NFL jersey of your choice. Winner gets an NFL jersey. If we win, or if anybody else from, you know, Bucks Live Media wins, then we'll figure that out. But we'll do a fantasy football league, and if you guys win, then there you go. You get the opportunity to win a custom jersey from the Jersey Wave, who's our sponsor, and that'll be awesome. I think that'd be fun. So if you're in, let me know. Let me know in the comments. I think it'd be awesome.
One thing I can definitely say, like someone who you won't be competing against is me. I keep trying to do fantasy football, and I don't know. It's like, as like full disclosure, like with ADHD, I find it's just too much to try and remember. It's too much to try and organize. I mean, I've had years when I've had four or five fantasy football teams on the go. I mean, this last season, like I finally did like fantasy hockey. And I kept forgetting to update my lineup. It's terrible. I've had half my team on injured reserve before now. Defense on a bye week. I'm the last person that you want to like speak to really for fantasy advice. But you know who's worse? And that is my partner Carly. Guaranteed. If she puts somebody on like her fantasy football team, this player will either be arrested or injured or just become anonymous.
Listen, I just want to say it's not funny what I'm about to say, but I don't know how NFL players are getting arrested when they're supposed to be on quarantine. I'm not really understanding that. That doesn't make much sense to me. But seriously, though, we're going to do this. So I want to show you guys this real quick. This is actually my new Mike Evans jersey here. This is actually made by our sponsor, the Jersey Wave. Everything's legit on this jersey. I love it. It is fantastic. So I now have a pewter one, and I have a red one. And now we got to shoot for the white. I think I'm going to probably shoot for a Tom Brady white jersey. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see kind of how it looks. But definitely cool stuff. So, again, if you are interested, I'll have the information in the next couple of weeks. So stay tuned. But we're going to do a fantasy football league for Set the Sails. And if you guys win, then you get your choice of a jersey from, of course, our awesome sponsor, who is the
Jersey Wave.
Oh, actually, I just saw it. Okay, so in our studio, we have the chat that we see of all of your comments, but we also have the chat just between us. And interestingly enough, and so the reason I bring that up, and Mark is back with us now. Mark, can you hear us now?
I can hear you.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, my
mate. Yes.
Yes.
There we go.
Oh, white governor. Right.
I didn't know it was Britt Buck. I thought maybe that was like a girl. I wasn't sure. I thought it was like
Britt Buck.
You know what? Actually, that's all fine. I've had a lot of people like slide into my DMs on Twitter before with like a picture of my actual face. Nice. And be like, hey, Britt. And I'm like,
maybe I should change mine to Marcy Cook or something. I don't know. Maybe I'll wait a second. I don't want dudes sliding in. I want chicks sliding in. That doesn't work. Yeah, never mind.
Yeah, no. Lots of like dudes sliding in, and it's just I need to make it fairly obvious that like it's a guy.
Are you in England? Where are you at?
I am in St. Catharines, Ontario, in Canada, in the Great White North.
Canuck buck.
Canuck buck. I like that.
Unfortunately, someone already has the Twitter handle Canuck buck. And someone who I actually, who I'm friends with, a great guy out in BC, a huge hockey fan. He's not a Leafs fan, but hey, you know what? We can get on. But yeah, so as I was saying, this T-shirt actually has a little bit of a strange history behind it, and a little bit of strange history involving you as well, Mr. Cook. Now I'm going to take our fans on a little bit of like a backward journey where social media wasn't really a thing. And if you wanted to talk about your favorite football team or complain about them, you went somewhere called a forum. Now this is an internet page where people posted opinions. Now Mark Cook, before he was the big, like celebrity that he is today, was a writer for Pewter Report. He was a moderator on their forum, the Red Board. And he hosted a little trivia competition. And I happened to get it right. He then sent me a message congratulating me and saying that I'd won a Pewter Report T-shirt. Of course, I was happy to win, but slightly disappointed. And I messaged him back saying, thanks, but I live in the UK. And without dropping a beat, Mark said, you know what, I'll see if I can sort it out. A couple of weeks later, this arrived. So,
I still get yelled at pretty regular for that postage. It was like $36 to send it to the UK. You're repping the Pewter Report in the UK, so it's well worth it. I don't care. It didn't come out of my paycheck, so I'm good.
This T-shirt was worn all over the place. It's now been like, I've always been like a huge like Pewter Report fan, and you know, like fangirl moment. Mark, you're actually one of the reasons that I started like sort of getting into writing about football and writing about the books. So you know, it's a great honor to actually have you on the show and be able to talk to you, man.
Well, I appreciate that, man. I was real fortunate to get into it, and you know, people all the time ask me how, and it's way too long of a story to go through all the ups and downs, but. Anyway, I'm just blessed. I'm fortunate. And, you know, when I have to get up on a Monday morning early, or I stay up late on a Sunday to do a mailbag, or I spend all day Wednesday figuring out what I'm going to write my column on, you know, I start thinking to myself, if that's the worst problems I have in life, I got it pretty made. Like my dad tells me, of course, he's wrong. He tells me I get paid to watch football. That's not true. I watch football for free, but then I get paid to write about it after the game while he's in bed or having dinner or at church on Sunday night, or if it's a Monday night game and he's snoozing, I'm still at the stadium. I'm still writing. So I don't get paid to watch it, but I certainly get paid to write it. And you know what? I'm very fortunate to be able to do that. And so whenever I start getting a little crabby and grumpy, I try and remember that there's a lot of guys out there that would give their left leg to have my gig. So anyway, I'm very appreciative of guys like you as well that are supporters of PewterReport.com. And look, it's probably a little cheaper to ship to Canada than it is the UK. So don't leave, and I'll try and get you another shirt. We've been through two updates since then. So no, James, no.
What do I got to do here? Whoa, hang on. No, I'm kidding. Hey, and I...
You've got your good looks to rely on. I need the advertising. The
beard. It's okay. I got my beard.
I need to pull people's attention away.
Yeah, no, nobody's going to confuse either of the three of us with Bradley Cooper anytime soon. No. I think he's safe.
Tell me something good. Anyway.
Why did I know you were going to burst into Shallow?
Yes, that's right. Shallow. All right, so we're being joined, of course, by Mark Cook from PewterReport.com. You can find a lot of his awesome work there. And one of the things that actually you wrote about today – and this is one thing I wanted to talk about, because in the private chat, I saw that you messaged about the salary cap. So I know there's some fans out there, as we heard from Rhett from Cannon Fire just a moment ago, about the salary cap. Can you kind of walk us through just your view of what is going on with the salary cap and kind of where we're at with that right now?
Well, I checked this morning because I had a question in the mailbag. Where were the Bucks at on their salary cap? And I checked some of the websites that report those things, but they're not always accurate, right? I mean, before the free agency period started, they were off. You know, most of them were both the two main ones were off by a few million dollars. So, you know, without naming names, you know, I'm fortunate to have a good relationship with the front office, and I'm able to, you know, verify those things. Now, they didn't tell me the exact number. I asked them. The question I asked is, over the cap was the one that I looked at, said the Bucks had around $4.8 million. So I said, is that fairly accurate? And he said about right. So again, that's all he said. He didn't say it's six. He didn't say it was four. He didn't say it was 4.98. He just said that's, you know, about right. So, you know, it's within that $5 million range. Now, again, you know, that's coming from, you know, one of three people that absolutely 1000% know, you know what I mean? What the number is. They're, you know, kind of in charge of that part of things.
So does that mean that we,
you got to see my terminal pillow. I'm wearing a Michigan hockey sweatshirt. Now I went to Detroit this year and had an opportunity to go to Ann Arbor too. Don't ask me why, but anyway, no, I had a good time there. They've got an amazing hockey program there. So this was a gift for me. I would not have purchased this on my own, but for all my Florida State friends, just know that I'm repping the Florida State blanket and the pillow on the back of the couch there, because that's normally where I end up sleeping at night.
Yeah, we're not going to argue about that now. Okay. But that is one thing.
I totally,
you know,
agree. Michigan have got like a hell of a hockey program, and a lot of people like, hey, you know, I could talk. I live in Canada. I can talk hockey all day. But yeah, a lot of people didn't realize how good some of these NCAA hockey programs are and how many players actually feed into the NHL.
Oh yeah.
It's not just all about like the OHL and like the minor hockey leagues at all. So yeah, totally agree. Michigan have got a great program going on there.
By the way, I'm kind of leaning back in my chair. That's why I look like I'm 800 pounds. I'm only 600, just to let people know. I have acquired an extra chin during this quarantine. I'm not going to lie. I need to put my beard. That's one reason I had the beard, because it covered up some of these rolls. But
that's anyway. Why I grow one. That's yeah. it. Because I got like the triple thing going on. Yeah. And when I shave it, like you can see, like if you go back and look at the couple of the old episodes, like the beard was thick and I just kind of let it go. And then eventually I just got, you know, kind of bored with it. But
right.
one thing I did want to ask before James takes the next question is, with the salary cap being what it is, or at least around what it is, does that afford us to still be able to kind of pick up someone else at this point? Or do you think the Bucks are kind of done for now?
Well, they would have to rearrange some money. I mean, I don't know the exact number on what it's going to take to sign the rookies, right? It's between three and four or five, something like that. I should probably know that. But it's, you know, it's a pretty good chunk of change. They're gonna have to sign their draft picks. They also like to go into the season with a little bit of surplus, right? I mean, you don't want to be, you know, I mean, you don't want to balance your checkbook. Not that anybody has a checkbook anymore, but you know what I'm saying. You don't want to have to go.
I don't
like to be that short on money, right? So you free up a little bit of money so you've got some in case an emergency pops up, and that's what the Buccaneers will have to do. So they may have enough for those two things, but to go out and find somebody now would be difficult without them, you know, rearranging some money here and there. And the thing about it is, you know, I've heard from people in the front office that, you know, we could create $10 million tomorrow easily. You know what I mean? It's just a matter of, I don't want to use the word manipulating because it would be in violation of the NFL rules, of course, but you know, they could, you know, they could rework some of these deals, you know, give some of these players some of that guaranteed money up front to clear a little bit of space or vice versa. I mean, there's different ways they can do it. And so they will, I believe they will do something. It may not even be anything that even is a blip on the radar as far as anything we know about. But they're going to have to create a little bit of room somewhere, because I think there are still some areas where they're going to look at some, you know, third wave. I call it the third wave. You got the free agency before the draft, you got a little bit of free agency after the draft. And then, you know, as you head into training camp, that's kind of the third wave. So, you know, there'll be some more guys added to this football team. There's still some issues with some depth at a couple positions. So but you know, don't fear. They're going to be able to go into the season and have a little bit of money.
Yeah, and you know, Mark, you've brilliantly segued into my question, actually, which is, like, looking at the Bucs roster right now and taking into consideration the salary cap. I know you wrote about this through your mailbag article that came out today. Where would you say the Bucs sort of might not necessarily be hurting the most, but actually need to maybe get in one or two guys?
Well, I'll tell you on one condition that you go read the mailbag, because I actually answered that question in there. So everybody who's listening or watching, I don't care if you read it. Just go click on it. Okay, that's fine. That's good enough. I'll give this one away. That was a question that was asked in today's mailbag. What position could least likely absorb a major injury? Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, obviously, too easy. The quarterback. If Tom Brady goes down, season's over, right? I mean – as much as I like Blaine Gabbert and Ryan Griffin, two terrific guys, there's a reason that they're backup quarterbacks. They're not the greatest quarterback of all time in Tom Brady. So if you lose that guy, they may still manage a 6-10, 7-9, maybe get lucky, go 8-8, but they're not going to be a 12-4 team with a backup quarterback if they lose Tom Brady. So even then, though, it's still kind of hard to pick other positions. But I did go with the offensive line, in particular Ryan Jensen at center. You know, you can argue really any of the positions on the offensive line, you don't want to lose a guy. You don't want to lose anybody at any position. But they saw with Mike Evans, then the emergence of Chris Godwin. When Godwin goes down, then the emergence of Rashard Perriman. So there are positions that are a little easier to absorb. But the drop-off from Ryan Jensen to – I forgot the guy's name. I remember his name. There was a Shackelford guy and a – Fabriziano or something like that. I mean, listen, I cover the team. I'm in the locker room every day. I couldn't have picked these guys out of a police lineup. So for me, losing Ryan Jensen would hurt the most, because that probably means you're going to switch Ali Marpet back to center. I mean, maybe one of these young guys are good enough and they'll develop. I don't know, but you're probably in it. But if you do that, now you're shuffling your offensive line. Now you've got Joe Haig moving to guard, which means Tristan Wirfs has to start right out of the gate, which is probably going to happen anyway. But they want Haig to kind of be that sixth offensive lineman, right? A versatile guy that can play guard or tackle if Donovan were to go down, or Wirfs were to go down, or if Capo or Marpet were to go down. So, again, if you switch Allie to center, now you've got – you know, some issues at the guard position. Does Haig, can he play left guard? I mean, is he primarily a right guard because he was a right tackle? I don't know. It just disrupts the whole flow of this offense by losing your guy up the middle.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Defensively, you know, losing Shaq or JPP for any significant time hurts, because there's no Carl Nassib on this team. Now, the team has high hopes for a guy like Anthony Nelson, but Anthony Nelson has no resume whatsoever, right? He was hurt for a lot of last year. He was okay, but he's not a veteran player. And so where's the depth at the edge position? Where's the depth at the outside linebacker position? They would have loved to have kept Carl Nassib, but you know, they weren't going to pay him what I believe when he go to the Raiders, if I remember. I don't remember.
But, yes. Yeah. The Raiders.
You know, so, you know, they couldn't afford to do that. I mean, you can't keep everybody. That's, you know, the best teams are the teams that are able to develop young guys to replace him. The Buccaneers hope Anthony Nelson is a guy that can replace Carl Nassib and play in that rotation. But if they lose one of those two stud pass rushers, I think that's going to hurt the team defensively. The other position was cornerback. Again, I like their starting cornerbacks. I really do. Safety I'm not as worried about because it's such an interchangeable position and they've got so many guys back there. But at cornerback, once you get past Carlton Davis and you get past Jamel Dean, then you got Sean Murphy Bunting who's going to play in your nickel spot. So now you're moving him to the outside somewhere if one of those two guys get hurt. Now you're plugging somebody in. Is it MJ Stewart? Does he even make the team this year? You know, who is it? Does Mike Edwards come in and play that nickel? Maybe Antoine Winfield comes in because he can play that position. But, you know, there's not a lot of depth there. That's the position that I have kind of harped on all year since the season ended that I really hoped that the Buccaneers would go and find a veteran guy. Not so much that he would push for playing time, but just to have that veteran presence in that meeting room on the field. They just don't have Ryan Smith is their most veteran cornerback right now. And technically, he's next in line, and but he's not, in my opinion, a one or a two corner in this league. He is a backup guy that could come in a few plays here and there, and he's an outstanding special teams guy. But he's had 4 years or however long he's had to develop, and just hasn't really, you know, shown a lot as a starting caliber cornerback in the NFL, particularly in this division, where he would have to go up against a Michael Thomas or a Julio Jones or a Calvin Ridley, you know, or even the Panthers who've improved their receiving core this year. So, you know, I think outside linebacker, I think cornerback, and I think offensive line, those are the three spots that I think this team is really kind of thin at. I think they can make do and get by with other positions if there's some injuries. But those three, that's going to hurt a little bit if they were to lose one of those guys. But as I wrote in the mailbag, which you guys will read when this is over and everybody watching, they're going to go click on the story, that, you know, Super Bowl winners aren't just the most talented team in the league. They're a lot of times one of the luckier teams in the league. I mean, you could be a great football team, but if you lose your main guy for any significant amount of time, you know, you're not going to probably win a Super Bowl. So, you know, they've got to be lucky next year. They're still not, you know, and no team is going to be too deep at every position. The salary cap just prevents that. But you hope that where you do have the injuries is a position where you can overcome it a little bit.
So we're talking to Mark Cook, of course, from PeterReport.com. Make sure you obviously go look at the mailbag because it's awesome, by the way. Already looked at it today, so that's awesome. You're welcome. But I wanted to ask, you know, obviously all the talk about, you know, the offense and all the signings and Brady and Gronkowski and the wide receivers and things like that, but I kind of like that we're talking – a little bit about defense, but offensively, and actually Joe Animal Fulford actually asked this question here about Wirfs. Why do you think Wirfs fell as far as he did? Was there an issue with him, or do you know kind of why he fell to where the Bucs were end up able to get him?
It was just a personal choice. The Buccaneers had him higher than the number four guy where he ended up going as far as those guys go. So just teams just had those guys ranked a little bit differently. You know, I think Willis was their number one and Wirfs was their number two. They haven't said that outright, but those are, that's kind of what we've gathered from talking to some people. So, you know, though that I don't know that he fell. There was not any specific issue than just personal preference. Those three teams that drafted offensive linemen ahead of the Buccaneers, for whatever reason, just like those guys a little bit more. The Buccaneers would have been happy to have any of the four of those guys, but I think they were really, really pleased that they got Wirfs. And, of course, you know, the fact that they you know, gave up a fourth-round pick to move up one spot tells you, you know, how important that position was to them and how much they coveted one of those guys. I probably should click off the live comments thing because I'm getting hammered by some people.
And I'm sorry about that. That's why I'm not some of the people I'm kind of just, you know, moving on and moving forward from. But
I'm used to it. I'm on Twitter a lot, so I get.
I was going to say you should be used to that by now. You know.
One of the things I always say. Bad.
Screw you, Scott. Just kidding. I like Scott. Go full for the animal. He was a legend down here in Tampa for a long time. If you guys don't know the animal, you better learn.
Yeah, he's been on our show. He's a good friend of the show. We're gonna have him on too. He's a real good friend of the show. Big guy, dude.
Yeah, I mean, one thing though that I always say to people, who are sort of like, oh, you know, I'd love to do like the podcast thing. I'd love to, but how do I cope with trolls? And the thing that I always say to people is, you know what? If you attract trolls, then you need to congratulate yourself, because trolls aren't going to come out in an empty space. They're not going to come out where no one is. They need people to see their trolling. So, you know, Mark, if you've got trolls, you've made it. That's what I would say.
Well, then I'm a star, because I have a lot of people that don't like me. Scott Reynolds told me a long time ago. In fact, he said, Pat Zinskis, when he was working for ESPN and covering the Buccaneers, he told me, he doesn't even read the comments on his stories. Now, I do, because I like to get the feedback, right? I mean, we all like a pat on the back. We also like to know what we can do a little bit better. Now, there are people who are just, is this PG rated or R rated or X rated or what?
You do what you do. It's okay. I know we have kids, but you know, you do what
all
you
right,
do.
All right, well, I'll go PG. There's some people that are real jerks out there. I was going to say another anatomy part, but I won't do that. They just like to be that way, just to be that way. Of course, when they, it's funny because I've had a few of those guys, but then when they meet you in person, you know, then you guys are best buddies. You know what I mean? All of a sudden, you know, they want to hang out, which is, you know, I love hanging out with our readers when we have events and things like that. You know what I mean? It's the age of the internet. I try not to take it so personal. Scott told me a long time ago, you know, you got to have thick skin, man. You know, if you're going to read the comments, you got to have thick skin. Don't take anything too personal. And 50% of the people are going to love you. 50% of the people are going to hate you. And of those 50% of the people that hate you, they're still going to come to the website because they hate you. And they want to point out what a jerk you are, but it's a win-win. I mean, they're on the website. They're reading your stuff. So,
yeah, and I totally agree with that. I think you've definitely got to have a thick skin, but one of the things you might have seen, we had Greg Allman of The Athletic on. One of the things I said to him is exactly what I'm going to say to you. One of the things that I actually respect about you is the fact that if someone tries to have a reasoned debate with you about something you've written, is that the fact that you won't automatically block, you'll actually talk to people. And I think this is what people need to sort of realize, is there are far too many people who are out there who will be like, oh, you didn't agree with me, well, you're blocked. And yeah. It's like we are lucky enough in the Tampa Bay market that we actually have a few people who are, you know, they're fairly mainstream. They know what they're talking about and they're willing to have a conversation with you. And instead of just like being, as some Scott in the comments has said, keyboard warriors.
Right.
There's and Donnie in internet gangsters.
I could count on one hand how many people I've blocked on Twitter. And that's not true. I block a lot of the bots, and I had like two guys follow me this week and they sent me messages. A message of somebody you don't follow, but somehow you get messages now, message requests, that's what it's called. And they were trying to sell me on some gambling site. So I just blocked those guys immediately because they were not following me and I just didn't want to be bothered with their annoying messages about, you know, promoting their gambling site. I've got a bookie. I don't need these guys. I'm just kidding. I don't have a bookie in case the FBI's looking at me. I don't gamble on sports, only at the slot machine at the Seminole Hard Rock. And anyway, I should probably bet on sports because the slot machines, that's not a very good winning proposition, but they're fun. Bottom line is, though, is I just don't, you know, I try not to block too many people. You know, as far as real people that have had disagreements with, there may be, you know, three or four that I have blocked. I mute. The mute button is my friend. There's a couple, I won't mention their names because they like the publicity, but anyway, I just, I just you know, they just were overbearing and just so annoying. I try and respect everybody's opinion. I don't have all the answers. I mean, I have a lot of access that most people don't have. Still doesn't mean I have all the answers, right? So you know, I'll listen to anybody else's take, and if they want to have a thoughtful, engaging debate about things, I'll try and do that. You know, it's no need to get my mother involved and calling my sister names or anything. But anyway, I mean, my mom and sister are really nice people, by the way.
Well, I hope that's true. I've never met either one of them, but they, you know, they're probably nice, I'm assuming. So there's that wonderful segue. Last thing from us tonight, I want to ask, because we've asked every guest we've had on in these four episodes.
We are recording these as well.
Yeah, we are recording these too. So this is just for fun, kicks and giggles. Obviously, you know, we want to know, what is your way too early season prediction for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? It could be a record, maybe something they do better, somewhere they, you know, maybe playoffs. Where do you see the Bucs in 2020? In 2021?
Yeah, way too early, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to go with what Warren Sapp said when somebody asked him once before the season started, how many games are you guys going to win? All of them, right? Warren's like, what do you want me to say? We're going to lose to somebody? I'm not going to do that. Now, the Buccaneers obviously aren't going to go undefeated. But you know, we don't know. I mean, I did not expect Tampa Bay to lose to the Giants last year. I also didn't expect them to go on the road and almost beat Seattle the way they did. You know, you just don't know how the season's going to go and how it's going to pan out. When Scott and I and John and Matt and Taylor did our podcast a couple weeks ago, after the schedule release, we went down the list and I think I had around 12 wins. Now, you know, I know that's optimistic. I know that's probably crazy in some people's minds, particularly people that have followed this football team for a long time. They find a way to break your heart. The very first football game I watched on television was in 1977 when my dad and I sat down and watched the Buccaneers beat the Saints for the very first franchise win. Now, I didn't know they had been 0-26 before that. I just liked their colors and thought they were cool. And my grandmother got me a Buccaneer shirt from Sears for Christmas a couple weeks later. So that's how I started following this football team. So I've seen the ups and downs and I've seen the heartbreak. But I'm always going to try and be an optimistic guy because I see how hard these guys work. I see how hard the coaching staff works. I don't cheer for the team anymore because that's not my job. But that doesn't mean I don't want to see them succeed. You know, because I see the work these guys put in. I know how hard and how much most of these guys genuinely care about winning football games. So, and there have been teams and there have been players in years past since I've covered this team that I didn't feel that way about. They didn't put in the work. It wasn't a great locker room. And I didn't care if they won or lost because, you know, I didn't think they were, you know, again, putting forth the effort that they should have. But I want to see him succeed. And so I'm usually overly optimistic. But, you know, I think this football team has an opportunity to win 12 games. I really do. The big thing for me is, are we going to have football? And that scares the crap out of me right now. It really does. Now, I think they'll find a way to play 16 games. I don't know if it's going to be 16 uninterrupted games. Maybe they have to adjust the schedule and maybe it's 12 games a season. I don't know how they're going to work that out. I think because there's just so much money involved, you know, billions of dollars involved in this sport. And just from a psyche standpoint for this country, if they didn't play football, would just be devastating too. Football isn't worth lives. I'm not sitting here saying that we'll play anyway and who gives a crap if people die in the stands. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I think there's a way that they figure out a way to play football. But it's still in the back of my mind, you know, a little nerve-wracking because – we've seen states like California say they're not going to let anybody do anything until at least July 1st, right? And the NFL has come out and said until all teams are able to go to the facilities or find a place to train, then nobody can. You know, that bothers me a little bit. The second thing that bothers me a little bit is the fact that the Buccaneers, you know, they have a new quarterback, and it's going to take time, really, for these guys to develop. And develop some chemistry. You know, it hurts the Buccaneers. There are teams where it hurts more. Peter King did a great thing with Matt Rhule today in his column that he does for NBC Sports. I don't think any team is hurt more than a team like Carolina, who has a rebuilt defense, a new quarterback, a new offense coordinator, you know, completely new coaching staff. You know, they're missing out on some valuable time. Teams like the Saints are going to be way ahead of the Buccaneers, I believe, when the season starts. I don't – that doesn't mean the Saints are going to run away with this division. The Buccaneers are going to keep it close, and I think it's going to be a battle between those two teams. But Buccaneers are at a bit of a disadvantage by not being able to meet and throw and practice. We've already missed rookie minicamp, some other minicamps, OTAs, things like that we should be in the middle of right now. And those things are important for football teams, particularly when – you know, they're bringing in some new guys. I mean, Tristan Wirfs, we talked about him earlier. You know, they want him to start right away, but, you know, it's tough to evaluate a guy and get him ready. You can virtually learn all you want, but it doesn't matter until you're in practice and JPP's coming at you full speed. I mean, that's how you're going to learn. And but I will say this, that doesn't happen until training camp because they don't hit during OTAs. But just being able to be on the field and work with your coaches and things like that, you can't virtually learn that. That's got to be done in person. So, you know, that concerns me a little bit. So I'm rambling on too much. People are probably getting tired of me. So,
well, thank you, Mark Cook, obviously from PeterReport.com. Just if you give us a quick where we can find you, maybe something you're working on. Obviously, PeterReport.com. We've said that several times. But maybe stuff you got going on. Go ahead. Shameless plug for yourself for a few minutes.
No need to plug me, just PewterReport.com, on Twitter, at PewterReport. Also, I really would like people to follow our Instagram account. We've really grown that over the last couple of years, but, you know, we'd like to get to 10,000 followers on that, and I'll take some of the blame for us not growing as fast as we should. I have a phone full of photos, and I don't put enough up there, but I promise I'm going to start doing more of that over the next few weeks. You know what I mean? So, you know, go to our Instagram account. We're also on Facebook. We've got over 10,000 followers there. Twitter, we're over 35,000. If people for some reason did want to follow me, it's at Mark Cook 1970, I think that is my Twitter handle. And then I'm also, I think that's the same thing for Instagram. I'm not sure. But if people did want to follow me, that's, you know, Twitter account is more of me rambling on about nonsense. It's, you know, if they want football, then obviously go to PeterReport.com. And I do talk football, you know, maybe a little more college football than NFL football. But it's pretty much an account of nonsense. So if people like nonsense, at Mark Cook 1970 on Twitter. I think it's Mark Cook 1970 on Instagram as well. But it can't be that hard to find me. There's not that many of us in the world that I've figured out. Let me look here on the comments, see if anybody has yelled at me lately. Donnie Peckman, I will follow you. Oh, I will say this. If you follow me on Twitter, I pretty much try and follow everybody back. I mean, there are times where I get a lot of followers and I don't go through right that second because I do try and I'll tell you a quick story. Do you have 30 seconds?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. I used to be like, if you follow me, I follow you back no matter who you are. And what I would do is, you know, every week or so I would, you know, look at people that followed me and then you can see if the button's checked to follow back or whatever. And I would just go boom, 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 boom. All right. 20 more people I'm following or 5 more people I'm following. And then one day, I was noticing, I kept getting this feed of a certain male anatomy part. And I was like, who in the world is retweeting this? 'Cause, you know, I figured somebody was retweeting it. And I looked at the account and I was actually following it. So I do a better job of vetting my followers now before I follow back. But anyway, hopefully I didn't like any of those pictures accidentally. Anyway.
Oh, goodness.
It wasn't Anthony Weiner's account, but it was close to something like that. So,
oh, my gosh.
That's one of those that I blocked, by the way, just to let you know when you want to know who I blocked. But if people follow me on social media, I do try and follow them back as well. If for some reason I don't, it's an oversight. You can hit me up directly and say, there you go.
You're not going to follow me. You know, it's okay.
Yeah, I don't follow you. I don't know.
I know. He's not following me either. He's not following me either.
You know what? Look, I've got my phone right now.
While we're on the phone. No.
I anyway. Feel horrible because I don't know. I'm lazy sometimes. I don't.
Oh, that's funny.
All right.
Oh, goodness.
All right. Britt Buck. I'm looking at Britt Buck right now.
Well,
It wasn't trying to make him feel bad.
Britt, you are you just at Buck Britt? Which one are you?
Yeah, that's me. At Buck Britt.
You look different, but
Let me take it back.
That was a few pounds.
I look different.
He follows my account personally, but yeah, we also have a Twitter account for the page. But anyway,
I'm not gonna follow you. I'm just kidding. I sometimes when I go on these podcasts, I think to myself, I'm killing our podcast numbers. I mean, because people only have so much time to listen to a podcast. You know, I should save this genius content that I'm giving you guys for our podcast. I don't mind doing other people's podcasts.
Dude, we'll be glad to come on your podcast too and give you whatever you want. So hey, no big deal with us, man. Look, the coolest thing about this show for us, or at least for me, is that we're able to promote others and to help people too. We all love the Bucks. We love Tampa Bay and
I don't mind. I don't know how long you guys have been doing. How long have you had this podcast?
We've had it for four episodes, all four of them.
Okay,
we've worked together for like 3 years, but this is like episode four of the podcast.
All right. Yeah. Well, I mean, everybody's got to start somewhere, and I tell people all the time. I was young and inexperienced at one time. The only way you get experience is doing it, and everybody deserves a boost when they can get it. So if they're good, we try and promote them as well. So we've got a good relationship with most of the Bucks media. Honestly, there's just a couple people we don't like, but we'll leave those unnamed.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. Well, that was Mark Cook from PewterReport.com, and thank you for
a better angle. It's the way I was laying. My face isn't quite that fat.
You've gone for like the selfie. Let's see your best.
Jump. Yeah, let me do it from way here.
Let's see that. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Anyway, well, thank you for joining us tonight, Mark. We appreciate your time, buddy.
Hey, I appreciate everybody in the chat room too. I was actually reading the comments, even the people that hated me. Fact and sense. I like you too, brother. But follow me. I'll follow you back.
All right, appreciate it, Mark. Thank you.
I can confirm that I'm now followed by Mark Cook.
Yes,
me too.
All right,
see you, man.
Bye.
Oh goodness, he's awesome. Well, thank you. Yeah, thank you, Mark, for joining us. And Rhett is still patiently waiting. I'm gonna bring him in. Hopefully, he's still with us. We'll see. Oh, he's somewhere. There he is. Hey, Rhett. Well, Rhett Matthew is back with us again from Cannon Fire Podcast. So make sure you guys check them out as well. That's a great show. I know I was very interested to hear your news this week about not only your giveaway, which I'm gonna let you talk about that too, because I think that's an awesome thing. But you guys are taking a break. I was a little bit saddened by that. But if you ever need any Bucks talk, buddy, you can come on here anytime you want, my friend.
Heck yeah, man. Yeah, we are we're just taking a little time off. I think we have put out a show once a week at least for over a year. I think since OTAs of last year, we've done a show once every week. And Evan's been telling me he wants to take a break lately. And I think right now we're kind of in a lull with news coming out, because that's our big focus, is reacting to the news and just reporting on what's going on. So with not a lot of stuff coming out, we figured it'd be a good time to take a break and to fill the time. We are running that contest. If anybody hasn't seen it, you can check out our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. All of the details are there. You can enter through our social media. That's actually the only way to enter. But we are giving away a signed picture of Mike Allstott. I don't have it handy with me right now, unfortunately, but it's an 8x11.5. It's Mike Allstott Family Foundation. It's got a signature right across the front. It's a really cool collector's piece. And so we're giving that away to people who subscribe to our YouTube channel, where we just recently hit 1,000 subscribers. So we're really pushing those. And it's just something really cool. We haven't done a lot of giveaways as our time as a show. So we figured it's time to give back, especially if we have nothing to do.
yeah, absolutely. Well, let me ask you this. We just talked to Mark, and I think that was a great conversation we had with him, and thanks for being patient throughout that call. Before I ask you this question, I'm gonna go ahead and open up the phone lines too. If you want to call in right now, 727-300-5904. If you want to talk, we'll leave Rhett on. He'll maybe answer some questions that way too, hopefully. So we're gonna hang out with you guys a little bit of extra time tonight. because you know, we had Mark on, and we want to give Rhett some time too to kind of pick his brain about some Bucks stuff going on too. So if you want to call in, 727-300-5904, you can call in and do that as well. But Rhett, let me ask you this question before we left. We talked a little bit about the schedule. There is one thing I do want to ask, and I'm very interested to kind of see where you stand on this. You know, we're not going to talk at length about Jameis and his career. You know, his career is highly noted. 5 years he was here, he broke a lot of Bucks records, did a lot of great things in the community. I'll give him credit for that. But there was also a lot of time where you're just kind of shaking your head and saying, wow, this is who we got right now. So do you think, and I want to ask you this, do you think the fans are more upset about losing Jameis, or are they more excited about getting Tom Brady?
You know, it's crazy because Jameis Winston, you and I got into it after the Saints game. I remember that, and I apologize for the way that I acted. I was kind of an ass about it, but I was frustrated with losing. I was tired of having to defend that guy, because that's where I was for a very long time. I like Jameis. He's got all the passing records in Buccaneer history. He's going to be in Buccaneer record books for quite a long time. So I think you do have a group that is very upset that we lost Jameis. A lot of people refer to him as the Winstoneers, you know, the people who, quote-unquote, don't shut up about him, which I think is whatever. But I think it's also hard not to get excited when you get Tom Brady. I know for me personally, if we didn't get Tom Brady, I wanted Jameis back. Like, I believe that while he wasn't going to ever throw 30 interceptions in a season again, maybe he threw 35, maybe he threw way less, but I believe he deserved another year under Arians. You know, I think people are going to look at this whole awkward transition thing that happened in Tampa Bay with Bruce Arians. And, you know, I see it on Twitter left and right. People are just dismissing him like, oh, he's not a quarterback whisperer. He couldn't help Jameis Winston. But I think the Jameis Winston project that Bruce Arians came into was something that needed more than one season. I think Bruce did a pretty good job of turning this team around mentally to a place we haven't been in a while, and that's just guys going in every week to win. So I think Jameis deserved another year. But when I found out we were getting Brady, it's one of those things, like, I can't get mad that we're getting the greatest of all time. I don't want to say that I wish Jameis well because he went to New Orleans. Like, I'm a fan first. I don't try to have an unbiased point of view, because I know that the only reason I do a podcast is because the Buccaneers stress me out 17 or 16 Sundays out of the year. You know, that's why I do it. So I'm a Bucs fan at heart.
And if you're not getting stressed on the bye week.
Right, yeah. but
I just want to throw that out there.
No, dude, that was great, because I thought about it, but I was like, well, yeah. Hopefully we have a chance to win against the bye week this year. But yeah, wow. It's just, I know personally I am in the boat. I don't want to support him right now. Other people want to support him, and that's fine. They are 110% allowed to do that. But me personally, I'm not going to go out and buy a Jameis Winston jersey because I like him that much. He made it personal going to New Orleans. He really did. But I like the guy. I hope that when he is not in a Saints uniform, he's winning football games. But as long as he is with New Orleans and his head coach is Sean Payton, I couldn't give a damn.
Yeah. No, and I totally get you. And I think sort of James summed it up well, saying that, you know, on one hand, like, James, he holds so many Buccaneers passing records. He holds some NFL passing records. There was a lot of upside to his game. And unfortunately, the downside was there. And it made moving on a possible thought. And I think a lot of people say, well, Bruce Arians, he's a fraud. He's not the quarterback whisperer he claims to be and everything like that. I think he was given a stark choice. Hey, do you want to work with the greatest quarterback who's played in the NFL? Like, or at least not, if not the greatest, one of the top three easily. Do you want to have a chance to work with this guy, or do you want to carry on working with Jameis Winston? Sure, Jameis Winston might become a Hall of Fame quarterback. I can't see the future. It could happen, okay? I'm not going to sit around and say, oh, it's never going to happen, or it's definitely going to happen. It could. The guy has talent. He played in the NFL. He's obviously got talent. James, seriously.
I wish. I'm not. This is why I'm not. I'm not saying anything because I'm just. I've been in this conversation for months, and I'm sick of it. I know I brought up the question, but I'm asking it from someone who, again, and look, I listened to your show. I know how you guys operate, but I was just very interested to hear, you know, where you see it from. Because here's the thing: I know exactly what I have with him, and it wasn't who I wanted as a quarterback. Right. I saw him play in college twice in person. Being a Florida fan, you watch what Florida State does, okay? You get it. And again, I look at this guy and I say, you know what? There's a lot to like about him. He makes throws that are impossible. He makes throws that you just look at and go, how in the world did he make that happen? I was a season ticket holder for several years before I moved to Alabama, and I watched him – do these things that just no normal quarterback could do. But then I look at the guy and I say, you know what? He's thrown more interceptions and more, you know, turnovers and everything else than I care to even admit. So this is, again, and Donnie's being funny saying, well, I thought the Jameis Winston talk was over. And you know what? It was over until I brought it up again. I love Jameis the person, but I don't think he's a good fit here, and I'm glad he's gone. Bye-bye, see ya.
You pulled the pin out of a grenade, you dropped it, and you walked off.
I'm fine with that.
That's what you did. But you know what, I've got this question for you, because I think this is a legitimate point. Like, and this is something that you can take to people who listen to your show, who call into you and talked about it. If you are Bruce Arians and you are given the choice, work with Tom Brady before you both retire or carry on trying to work with Jameis, what do you do?
Yeah, it's all about the situation that Bruce Arians is in. You know, if he was 10 years younger and he knew that he was going to coach for 10 more seasons, then I would say for his sake, you want to roll the dice on Jameis Winston because you know you have a future ahead of you with this team. Tom Brady is at the age that he is. But with Bruce Arians also on the brink of retirement, you know, he just wants to win, and he wants to win a ring. He's made that clear since day one here. And so when you are in that situation where you've got, all right, this guy just threw 33 touchdowns and 30 interceptions, and your team went 7-9, you know, everybody, not that he reads what everybody is saying on the internet, but everybody is saying that if he had thrown 10 less interceptions, his team would be in the playoff. So what position do you see yourself in? Are you going to roll with Jameis Winston, or are you going to get, as you brought up, the greatest quarterback to ever grace the NFL? Like, it's a pretty easy choice, and unfortunately it's what gives you, well, not unfortunately, but unfortunately for Jameis, it's all about what gives you the best chance to win as a team. You know, all the great things that he was doing, he was losing his football games more times than not, and people can make the argument that he didn't have help while he was here. They didn't try to help him, but I will die on the hill that the Glazers and Jason Light did everything that they possibly could to help him. Did it work? No. Hindsight is always 20/20. But they damn sure tried to help him out. You know, nobody can argue the point. Bringing in DeSean Jackson that offseason, that was supposed to help take him to the next level because he could have somebody who can run routes faster than Mike Evans. You know, it didn't pan out the way that we wanted to. And it's unfortunate, but at the end of the day, when you're faced with that situation of Tom Brady or a guy who's still somewhat figuring himself out, you're going to pick Tom Brady because he just gives you that better chance to win now. And that's the agenda. You know, if Bruce Arians was 10 years younger, maybe he would have rode it out with Jameis, fixed him up like he said he would, but he's not getting any younger.
No. And I think that echoes kind of where I am. And it's like, you know what? Yes, Jameis Winston probably can be turned around by some intensive coaching. As Donnie points out, if you get him a more reliable internet connection and he can get on Google more, learn more about how to play quarterback.
Right, yeah, he doesn't have to do it by himself anymore. So
yeah. Anyway. But you know what, I totally get that. But on the subject of winning now, what do you see the Bucs season being? What is Rhett Matthew and his ridiculously early season prediction?
Right off the bat, I want to go 10-6. You know, for me, I know Mark kind of dabbled in it, and he said for a lot of people it's strange to see all of these predictions of, you know, the Buccaneers winning 12-13 games, making a far run into the playoff. And I am in that bunch of people. As someone who has watched this team give us awful football for the better part of 20 years. You know, it's at the point where I have to believe it. I'll believe it when I see it. Okay, let's say 14, 15 years. I saw you counting. I know you're doing the math in your head.
It's got to be like, I mean, we've got to be getting close to like 25 years. 25 years I've been following this team. I think I've had 5 seasons of good football spread throughout that time.
Exactly. You know, so that's where the team is now. I want to say 10-6 because I think the big wild card is Brady's adjustment. You know, weeks 1 through 6, like, how is this team going to figure it out? Can the defense pick up where they left off of last year? That's the hope with bringing back that front 7, which they were able to do. Great. I'm super happy about it. But can the combination of JPP and Shaq Barrett go out and get you 25 plus sacks again? It's going to be hard to determine this early because, you know, obviously teams have a lot more film on Shaq Barrett. And the idea is that with JPP fully healthy, you're not going to be able to stop either one of them, which I'm pumped about because I think that's true. But can this defense pick up where they left off? Can this young secondary pick up where they left off? Because it took them 8 or 9 games last season to really get the hang of what they were doing back there. And, you know, they relied on the pass rush, the success of that a lot. So there's a lot of question marks about it. So I have to say, way too early, I have to say 10-6. They'll get a wild card appearance, finish 2nd in the division, and hopefully make a playoff run. I think this is a team that can get in the playoffs and be hard to beat. I legitimately believe that. I think if the Bucs got in the playoffs last year, they would have been hard to beat. Let's say they finished 9-7, best case scenario, got in on a wild card spot. You know, I think they are a team that can contend for a little bit, but right now I just don't want to get too happy-go-lucky. I want to say 10-6. Maybe the ceiling is 12-4, but I want to wait for training camp, see positional battles. So right now, 10-6. The short answer.
I think that's where we're all waiting for. Is what we are. I mean, obviously, I know we're all waiting to see the guys back on the field. Speaking to Dean Jensen this morning, he's saying that Ryan's just like flying into Tampa today. So
I saw his Instagram. He styled and profiled his way into Tampa on a private jet.
I know. Hey, you know what? This is
big. Yeah. I let him borrow it. I let him borrow it. You know. I figure. So, yeah. You know. He's a friend of the show.
Yeah, you get it. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's great.
It's an absolute disgrace, though. Seriously, he's going to need to pick up that dry cleaning bill afterwards.
Yeah, big time. No, I'm kidding. Well, Rhett, I want to thank you again for your patience throughout and hanging out with us, and we're going to wrap things up here. But go ahead and tell us shameless plug yourself for the next few moments.
Absolutely, man. First off, thank you guys for having me come on. I always love just talking about Buccaneers anywhere possible. You know, we're all here cheering on the same team, so I just don't, you know, stuff happens, and I never exclude myself from any chance to talk about football because everybody is rooting for the same team. With that being said, you folks can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Rheticus, Rhettakus, and not like Mark Cook, because by the way, while he was saying he follows everybody back, I put it to the test, unfollowed and followed him back really quick, and I have yet to receive a follow back. If you follow,
you're not listening because he says he goes through it weekly.
Well, I guess you have to pay. But if you folks follow me, I will follow you back and check out the Cannon Fire podcast. We have video podcasts up on YouTube. You can check us out Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And then anywhere you listen to a podcast, we have got 115 episodes, I believe, plus all of the Bucks breaks that we did during the season as well. So make sure you guys go check all that good stuff out to pass the time. And I've said my piece.
Really? Really now? Is that true?
What page is that?
Because that's my page that you're not following.
All right.
You liar.
Did you just follow me?
No, I didn't. But anyway.
Unfollow me and follow me, and I've got you.
I love being able to do this. It makes me laugh so hard. Oh, my gosh.
Huge cowums.
Anyway, all right. Well, that was Rhett Matthew again. Thank you for joining us. And, dude, we're going to have you on again, all right? And I definitely want to get you back on here, and we'll talk some more Bucks and throughout the season as well. Okay, buddy?
Heck yeah, man. Looking forward to it, guys.
All right, man. You take it easy.
See ya.
All right, man. Well, that was Rhett Matthew. Awesome guy. Good friend of the show. That's going to do it for us. Appreciate y'all staying on. We went a little bit, you know, longer than usual, but that's okay. And I'm looking forward to being back here again with you next week. Of course, Britt Buck, final thoughts, sir.
Yeah, do you know what? This is actually, and this is going to sound a bit strange. Guys, I know this is a conversation that we've had in the background regarding, obviously, like the show length. If you're happy with the show length the way it is, let us know. If you want to see shorter shows, let us know. We want to create a show which is great for you guys. I mean, I'm not joking here, sit for 5-6 hours a day talking to people like my co-host James, like Rhett, like Mark Cook, like Greg, who we've had on the show. We've got loads of great guests like lined up, and I could happily speak to these guys for 5 or 6 hours. Obviously, we know we eat into your evening. If you want like longer shows, let us know. If you want the show to stay the same as it is, let us know. If you want shorter shows, let us know. This is all.
How about if you want more shows, like not just Monday, but another day throughout the week as well? That's something else we want to know.
Yeah. Do you want a weekly show? Do you want a bi-weekly? Or do you want multiple shows in a week? Tell us how you want us to do this. Tell us what you want from your show. And you know what? I did message him. He says you don't need to. If anyone interested in baking or things like that, check out Donnie. He is actually an artisan baker, and his Instagram is full of like lots of interesting baking things and things that he gets up to in Toronto. He's a very, very well-connected man. I know he's waiting to get back, obviously, into the kitchen to get baking again so we can see some more of that bread. But you know what? Give him a follow. It's pretty interesting. He's a good guy. But that's my shameless plug, is actually for someone who's not even part of the show. My good boy, Donnie, I've got your back, man. So, guys, seriously, if you want, let us know what you want from the show. Because if you tell us, then we can give you, we're horrible, horrible mind readers. We've tried it. We're not Jedis. These are the droids you're looking for.
Try not to choke on your aspirations.
Seriously.
I watched Rogue One today, so while I was doing homework. So there you go. I may watch it again tonight because it's just so good. Anyway, go ahead.
I've not actually watched Rogue One yet.
Dude, you're missing out. You're missing out.
I am. I'm not going to lie. I know we're sort of eating into a bit more time here. I am one of those people that I love canon, and I'm not too sure about some of the side shows and things like that. But, you know, a lot of people have said Rogue One's good. I might give it a watch
tomorrow. It is very good. It is very good. All right, guys. Well, that's going to do it here for us on, of course, Bucks Life Media. You can find us. Also, you can find us at fanstreamsports.com on our Fanstream Sports Podcast Network. Make sure you go check us out on there. You can also find us on Twitter as well at sales_set. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Twitch, YouTube. Yeah, Twitch, YouTube. You can find me, James Ludeman. You can find Britt Buck on Twitter as well. We're hanging out on social media with you guys. But as always, thank you so much for watching and supporting our show, supporting Bucks Life Media, supporting everything that we're a part of. And we would not be here if it weren't for you guys. Stay tuned because we have some amazing guests that are going to be coming. A little spoiler for next week. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but I will tell you that if you are interested in learning more about fantasy football, and you are not as good, so James, and you know, make sure you pay attention next week. We're going to have a fantasy football expert join us on the show next week. So if you're getting ready for that league this year, hopefully we play. If you're getting ready for that league, or whether you're getting ready for our Set the Sales League, then this is a show you're not going to want to miss, okay? So make sure you guys tune in, and we'll announce that later on in the week. But I'm James Ludeman. This is James Britt Buck Wilson. Thank you for watching the show. And as always, as we end every show, let's
go Bucks.
Go Bucks. Have a great evening. Peace.
We need to work on that.
We will.